It is 2:08 on a Saturday here at CCO. Typical July day, 87 degrees. Winds out of the northwest at 11 miles an hour. Our dew point down to 66 degrees. Another one of those days where you're glad your air conditioning works. And speaking of air conditioning, we have Brian Keene joining us from K&S Heating and Cooling, serving the greater Rochester area and the Twin Cities. Brian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Great to be here.
Yeah, and we want to open up the phone lines. If you have a question for Brian about your air conditioning system or for that matter, your heating system, by all means, feel free to call the program, 651-989-9226. 989-9226. We have HVAC in the spotlight this week on Ask the Expert. And Brian, I'm sure your crews have been very busy indeed.
Yeah, it's been a very, very busy summer. We're glad to have it. It's definitely been a big improvement over the last few summers as far as work goes, but it's been unbearable outside some days.
Yeah, for sure. And it's one of those things. I get to sense that people, in a way, take their heating and cooling systems for granted. When they work great, when they don't, help. You know, it's one of those things that people don't think about it until it's not there.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of ways to find heat in the wintertime, but there really aren't any good ways to get air conditioning if your main system goes down.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk a little bit about that right now. Preventative maintenance. Do you find that people do the proper preventative maintenance when it comes to their air conditioning systems?
A percentage of people do. We wish that percentage would be higher, of course. Preventative maintenance doesn't guarantee you won't have a breakdown, but it really takes a lot of the chance away that you will. And I think it's always a good thing to do. So that people can be sure that their system works before it gets hot.
All right, what do your guys do when you go out, say, in the springtime when you're typically doing preventative maintenance? I know right now, literally, you're just trying to get systems up and running, but when you go out and do a PM on an air conditioning unit, what are the things you do? What do you look for?
We have a checklist. The main things that are on that checklist are going to be things like the air filter, checking the refrigerant charge in the system to make sure that it's accurate to where it needs to be, making sure that the system has proper airflow, cleaning the outdoor unit. A lot of times they get clogged up with grass and cottonwood and things like that. And just making adjustments on people's dampers and things like that in their house, and giving it a test run. There's parts that need to be oiled. It's a fairly lengthy checklist that can really help people be prepared for the heat before it comes.
And I suppose one of the things you do is take a look at the age of the system, because these things, even though we hope they run forever, they don't. There is a shelf life for sure.
Yeah, there's always those units out there that surprise us and go for 40 years. But the average life of an air conditioner today, they say, is 12 years, believe it or not.
Wow. And what about the combo furnace? Because typically a furnace and air conditioning is put in at the same time.
Yeah, typically that is the smart way to do it, to get a match system so that they work properly together. Furnaces are right in that same area. I want to say they're more like 14 years. We get those statistics from the manufacturers themselves. We always like to aim for 20 years, but most people aren't that lucky.
All right, one of the things we hear so often when it comes to HVAC, one of the things going to help your system winter or summer run more efficiently is changing that filter. I'm sure you see it all the time. You go out and those filters haven't been changed in ages.
That is by far the number one call in the air conditioning season, is not just changing the filter, but changing it with the right filter. There's a lot of folks out there that go to the store, they talk to the nice people at the hardware store or their big box store, and they get persuaded to buy a filter that might cost more, made out of the pleated type material, which can be pretty restrictive with the airflow. And sometimes we get calls just for that, the incorrect air filter. It's important to ask your HVAC provider, you know, what air filter works best for your system, and then keep buying the right one.
Yeah, and what do you recommend, or does it change depending on if you have dogs, cats, et cetera, hardwood floors? I know carpet tends to attract a lot of that stuff, and it doesn't end up in the ductwork. But what do you recommend typically? Is it monthly?
You should check your filter monthly, regardless of what filter you have. There's a lot of good ones out there that only need to be replaced once per year, but it doesn't mean that you shouldn't check it monthly just to see if that time has come. I would recommend people talk to their, you know, HVAC provider and make sure that they get the right filter for them, like I said. And that may be different for different people. It all depends on what type of system you have and what space you have for that filter. Some people have a nice, big, large space and can accept a 4 or 5 inch filter. And some people only have a little 1 inch slot to slide in a really basic filter. And the problem comes when you try to get the best filtration out of a 1 inch slot where there just isn't enough room for the better filter.
Yeah, and I suppose it's like anything, trying to find that balance. You want to trap as much stuff, but you don't want to restrict that airflow as well. So following the manufacturer's recommendations is huge.
Yes, that's exactly right. It's all about having the right airflow so that your system can function, but still having a nice enough, tight enough material in the filter so that you can stop the debris the way that you want to.
You know, you hear different theories on this. What are your thoughts on running the fan 24/7? Some folks keep it on auto, so when their air is not running, the fan isn't running. But I'm one of those guys that heard years ago it's better to just keep the air circulating and keep that fan on all the time. What do you think?
Yeah, at my house and my business, I run the fan 24/7. I'm a firm believer that that helps a lot of different things. For one, you're running that air through that filter 24/7, and you're also mixing the air around the house, keeping the temperature more even. And with today's newer blower motors that most furnaces are coming with, they use 80% less electricity than the older furnaces blowers do, and it can cost you pennies a day to operate that fan, which makes you a lot more comfortable, and it makes your house more healthy as well.
All right. By the way, if you want to talk to Brian Keene from K&S Heating and Cooling, serving the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area, feel free to call. It's our Ask the Expert segment, and our phone lines are open at 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Or you can send a text at 81807. That's 81807 if you have a question for Brian today as well. Let's go to the phones. Let's bring in George in Hastings. George, you're on the air with Brian Keene. Hello.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
Hey, I have I built a super insulated home about 30 years ago, and at that time it was kind of a weird deal, but I have a van air-to-air heat exchanger in there. And I don't know if you're installing many of these things, but I've replaced the damper motors twice on it, but I'm worried I'm not going to be able to find parts for this old thing anymore. I was wondering who's leading the pack now as far as air exchangers.
There's a lot of different ones out there, and those actually are going into all the new homes today. And in order to even pass code in a new home, you've got to have a type of ventilation, and that's typically what most people are choosing to use as their ventilation because it's the most efficient way to do it. The job of that thing is to help circulate the air in and out of the house without losing the heat at the same time. And I highly recommend that, you know, you have one if you have a house that was built in the last 20 years. There is a lot of different brands out there to choose from that do a good job. Vanny is still around. There's Venmar, Lennox and Carrier and Trane. They all make their own units as well. I just suggest you get a couple bids and, you know, find one that you think would work good for your house and make sure you get the right size. That's probably more important than what the brand is.
All right. And the air exchanger, is the reason that it's cold is because new homes are sealed up so tight?
Yes. The goal these days is to get these houses sealed up as tight as possible, but we got to have ventilation to keep the moisture under control. Believe it or not, the wintertime moisture is the biggest problem, and that's when these things are designed to be used. We turn them off in the summertime. In the summertime, you'd be exchanging hot, humid air for your nice, cool, dry air in your house. And the wintertime, you're actually removing humidity out of your house that otherwise would get pushed into the walls and cause your house to to basically decay prematurely.
All right. Let's go to Dale in Invergrove Heights. You're on with Brian Keene, our HVAC expert from K&S Heating and Cooling. How you doing, Dale?
Pretty good, Brian. I just wanted to make a comment. It's really old. I put in a Fetters unit, a package unit from Standard Heating about 45 years ago.
That is an old one.
Never had a service call. Never touched a Freon.
Wow.
Haven't done a thing to it.
You would definitely fit into that that rare situation then. That's amazing.
Well, Dale, you bought one built on a Wednesday, obviously.
I can't believe it. It might be getting a little low on Freon, but I keep it at 75 in here, and I don't like it any cooler anyway. But I don't let it run that long. But I'm surprised how well it's done, and I'm very happy with it. If it went tomorrow, I'd say I'm ahead of the ball game.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure, Dale. Thanks for the call. But a quick follow-up there, Brian, on these older units. I suppose the biggest concern is, and I've heard this over the years, is really the heat exchanger in the furnace, that over time it corrodes, and that can become a major problem.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest concerns in the heating season. And, you know, one comment back to that 45-year-old unit, it's been reliable. It hasn't cost them a dime to service. That's amazing. And I hear that every once in a while, but unfortunately the amount of electricity that thing has probably used over the years has probably cost him about the same as he would have replaced the unit. So that's another thing to consider. It's not always just about reliability. It's about the amount of electricity that thing would probably use. A new unit would use probably about 30 to 40% less electricity.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Brian, you help people navigate the rebates out there. There's a lot of rebates, especially if you have a unit that's 15, approaching 20 years old. I know I'm in that category. There's a lot of great programs out there.
There really is. There's a lot of great rebates from all the different utility companies that are surrounding the metro area. And down south, there's a lot of other rebates as well. And it's good to take advantage of those rebates before they run out of money. The rebates really can lessen the blow that you have to take when you buy a new piece of equipment, and it gets you into the savings a lot quicker. I highly recommend people take advantage of those rebates while they're around, and we do. When we come out and measure up somebody's house and see what they need, we make sure that we let them know about all the rebates that are available.
Yeah, and speaking of measuring up a home, getting a properly sized unit is a huge deal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, that's really important. When we're looking at a home to see what you need for an air conditioner, there's lots of different options for efficiency, but the one thing that's the most important is having the right size. If you go too big on an air conditioner, like some people sometimes want to do, you sacrifice dehumidification. Cooling the house at the right speed is the key to dehumidification. And nobody wants to have a house that's cold and clammy feeling. You want to have a unit that does a nice job of cooling and also dehumidifying.
All right, let's go to the phones again. Once again, Brian Keene joining us. K&S Heating and Cooling, HVAC in the spotlight on Ask the Expert on this Saturday afternoon, 2:22. Bob in Minnetonka has been waiting on the line. Bob, you're on the air with Brian. Hello.
Yeah, quick question. I go away in the winter months, and I'm always concerned about the furnace going on, obviously, in the cold and having a frozen-up house. I have an 18-year-old trained furnace that's always run perfectly well, no CO leaks from the heat exchanger on testing. I can't ever get a good answer for this. How do you actually decide when it's time to prophylactically get rid of a perfectly well-running furnace?
All right, Bob, we'll put you on hold. All right, go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's different for everybody. But depending on what the efficiency of that furnace is, if it's a lower efficiency furnace, being 18 years old, it probably is. You have to take a look at the rebates that are available, take a look at what the actual cost is for your particular installation, and do a little bit of math and find out if that efficiency is going to pay you back in a timely manner. If you plan on staying in the house for a good length of time, you can do the math and find out that it may cost you nothing over that time period to have that furnace replaced.
Yeah, and I'm sure, Brian, that's a huge challenge in your business to walk people through that because, you know, it's kind of like it doesn't owe me a dime, but you don't want it to go out when it's 15 below and the wind chill's 40 below in January. We're talking furnace here. Or on the flip side, you don't want that old air conditioner going out, you know, on a day when it's 95 and the dew point 70.
That's true. From a reliability standpoint, that's always something to consider. The age of the unit obviously has a lot to do with that. And the newer units, I mean, you could even get a thermostat now with them, with the units that when you're away, they'll actually tell you if there's a problem so that you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to have your neighbors go over and check your furnace or your caretaker. You can simply just let the thing notify you if you have an issue.
Yeah, that's pretty handy for the snowbirds for sure. That's good stuff. Let's go to Stephen Woodbury. Steve, you're on the air with Brian Keene. Hello.
Hi. I got a question. I heard you talking about leaving the fan on in the air conditioning unit running. A few years ago, we replaced our air conditioning service, and prior to that, we had gotten a couple estimates, and both outfits were telling us the same thing, keep the fan on to, you know, circulate the air. And which I had, and then my better half kept shutting it off to save energy. And recently here, we had someone come out, and we asked them about that, and they said that that's okay if you have a variable speed fan or motor or something like that, but if you don't, you can actually burn that out. And I guess I was wondering what your opinion is on that.
I agree with that to a certain extent. With the variable speed DC fan, which is the key that it's DC, they use a lot less electricity. They're made to run all the time. But if you have the older type motor in your furnace, a permanent split capacitor motor, which is what all the older units typically had, those will wear out a little bit faster running them all the time, but it won't just burn it out. I mean, it's not like it's going to ruin it real quick or anything. It's something that, of course, wear and tear on anything does wear it out. So the more you use it, the more it wears. That's where the DC motors, they're brushless. They're made to run all the time. They will last just as long either way.
All right. I'm with you, Brian. My opinion is run the fan, I guess.
Yes.
By the way, we have time for a couple more quick calls if you want to dial in and talk to Brian Keene from K&S Heating and Cooling, serving the Twin Cities and the Rochester area, 651-989-9226. You can text 81807, 81807. From our text line, I've got hot water heat. What kind of air conditioner can I get, and how expensive would it be? Because I know those people that have hot water heat, particularly in the slab, that's pretty cool. I mean, that works great. I love that kind of heat. My mom and dad had a house like that years ago that had hot water heat, and that was neat. No dust. It was great.
Yeah, you can't beat hot water heat when it comes to evenness of temperature. It's quiet. It's reliable. It's great heat, but you always run into that problem with, yeah, now how do I air condition my house?
Right.
You can't air condition it through your water pipes. So you have to have something that moves air in your home. A lot of times we'll use these new systems that are called mini split systems. They're basically small air conditioners that are a lot like the ones that everybody else has, but they're ductless. They don't have any ductwork. It's just a module that hangs on the wall in the room that you want to cool and a unit that sits outside. It hooks up relatively easily, and there's really no limit to how many of them you could put around a home, whether it's a big home or a small home. The older option, which is still a good option for some people, would be to put an air handler in the basement and run some ductwork in the house, or put an air handler in a closet area and run some ductwork throughout the house.
All right, so there are options for sure. What about these mini split systems? You see them advertised all the time.
Oh, yeah, they've become really popular. They're very efficient. They're very easy to put in. There's almost no restrictions from where they can go. I think they've become really popular because they're new. A lot of people don't know that they're out there, and a lot of people in the HVAC industry like myself would like more people to know that they're out there. It really does solve a lot of issues for people that thought they could never have air conditioning before. They may not have a basement. They may not have a closet. And the only way that they can do it is with one of these ductless mini split systems, which they do work very well.
Yeah, and I see these quite a bit now in people that have maybe added a three-season porch or those types of things, you know, for that bonus room, et cetera. They seem to be super handy for a setup like that.
Super handy. You almost never run into a situation where you can't get one of those in there. And they do a fine job. They're quiet. And again, in a lot of cases, they're more efficient than some of the bigger systems that people have in a house that already has ductwork.
All right, let's go to Robbie and Blaine. We have time for another call with Brian Keene. Robbie, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. We have a 41-year-old furnace and a 40-year-old air conditioning unit. We have a warranty through American Home warranty that if something goes out, they will replace it, and it still it keeps running. I wish it would go out. Is there would you recommend getting a new furnace and air conditioner just for the sake of saving energy?
I'm very familiar with your home warranty company. And they'll keep making repairs to it for as long as they possibly can. You know, that's their job. But a 40-year-old system, every year that you keep it is another year that you could be with a newer unit that uses a lot less electricity and gas, which will save you money. And every year you keep that old one, it's just more gas and more electricity usage. I would recommend at least getting some bids to find out where you'd be at. And take a look at the math and see if it would be worth it for you to replace it.
Yeah, and, you know, your contractor, and I'm sure at K&S, you sit down with people and kind of show them all the math.
Oh, absolutely. We can answer any questions when it comes to that. A lot of it is pretty basic. I mean, we know what the rates are from the utility companies as far as gas and electricity, and we have the efficiency ratings of your old unit when it was new versus what a brand new unit would be. And a lot of times the math works out in the homeowner's favor to replace that unit. And with the different financing programs out there, there isn't hardly anybody out there that can't afford the very small payment that comes with it. And a lot of that payment will get covered by the savings that you would get utility-wise.
All right, Brian, one final one from the text line. We talked about mini splits for cooling problems, maybe in a home that has hot water heat or doesn't have ductwork in place for air conditioning. But what about mini splits for heating? Is there such a thing?
Yeah, there is. It's a little more complicated when you live in Minnesota because our cooling requirements aren't quite as big as our heating requirements.
Sure.
So a lot of times you just oversize the unit for heating. And a lot of these mini splits are variable speed. So that bigger unit will give you the heating that you need down to a certain temperature, usually 15 below. And you can even get ones that are supplemented with a little electric heat to back that up. And then what will happen is it'll just run at a lower speed during the cooling season, so you'll still get that dehumidification that you're after.
All right, Brian, I want to squeeze in one more from the text line. And I remember years ago, my first job in radio was out in Montevideo. We had a building out in the country. And on hot, humid days, the A-coil would ice up, and the building would get really, really hot, and we had to wait until that thing thawed out. What are a couple of causes for that A-coil icing up? And this goes back years and years ago, but from our text line, what could be causing that in someone's home?
That's a really good question. It's usually caused by one of two things. It's either an airflow restriction, maybe the blower quit blowing or the filter is clogged, or one of the kids went around and closed all the vents in the house because it looked fun. Or it could be because there's a leak in the system and it has a partial charge of refrigerant, and that actually causes a freeze up as well. So it's usually one of those two things, an airflow restriction or a partial or low charge of the refrigerant.
Well, Brian, we appreciate your time today. It's been a lot of fun. We had a lot of great calls and texts on the program. How do people reach KNS Heating and Cooling?
In the metro area, you can reach us at 952-697-4328. We're located at 6513 Cecilia Circle in Edina. If you're south, like in the Rochester area, we're at 507-282-4328, and we're located on Highway 14 West.
All right, and the website's a good one as well, ksheating.com, ksheating.com. Brian, it's been a pleasure. Great job today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, there he is, Brian Keene from KNS Heating and Cooling, serving the Twin Cities and the greater Rochester area. Our Ask the Expert feature this week, HVAC, and hopefully we'll have Brian again on real soon. It is 2:34. We'll have the weather in a moment.